Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So the section of scripture that we're going to look at this morning comes from the book of Proverbs. I'm going to expand on those verses a bit by including some that follow. So listen again to these words. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of the grave. We don't hear many sermons on the book of Proverbs, and particularly in Lutheran circles, and probably for a couple of reasons. First, the book of Proverbs doesn't come up very often in the regular lectionary, that is, the cycle of readings that are pre-selected for each Sunday, and because most Lutheran pastors prefer to preach on those readings, they just don't get a chance. But secondly, the book of Proverbs can be very easily misunderstood. It generally consists of pithy statements for moral living. And if it isn't clearly understood that the advice that Proverbs gives, and it can only be heeded by if you're already a Christian, you can fall into the trap very easily of believing that it's our acceptance of certain values or living in a particular type of morality that makes you a Christian and brings you salvation. Now, there's no doubt that the advice found in Proverbs is good and helpful. In fact, many non-Christians have benefited from it, and that's because it's God's word. But it's just as true that following that advice doesn't make us righteous in God's eyes. Only a faith relationship with Jesus Christ does that. Once we have that faith relationship, then any changes that we make in the way we live our lives is a response to God's great love for us. And we also see much more clearly that when God asks us to do certain things or avoid certain things, he's really pleading with us not to hurt ourselves or to hurt others, and instructing us on how we might be able to have a little bit of a more peaceful life. And that's what's happening in that reading this morning. In Proverbs chapter 9, God says that we've been invited to a party, to a feast, actually to two parties, as he describes two banquet tables. There's the table of the woman wisdom and the table of the woman folly. Folly here is pictured as a harlot who waits by the door of her house, calling and inviting those who pass by to come and enjoy the fleeting pleasures that she has to offer. And what she offers is difficult for us to turn down because she appeals to our naturally sinful appetites. She tempts us by calling out, stolen water is sweet, suggesting that those things that are forbidden are the most desirable. Mark Twain once told of how he and some other young boys were passing a melon stand one day, and they waited until the owner was distracted, and they stole a melon and ran off to devour it. When they were safely away, they took a knife and they cut out a piece and sampled it with great anticipation. But after biting into that melon, they thought about what they had just done. And Twain says they took the melon back to the stand and promptly took one that was ripe. Now these boys clearly didn't learn the right lesson. But the principle that motivated them remains the same. Stolen water is sweet. For some reason, we think that if something isn't supposed to be done, then there must be some great excitement and enjoyment in doing it. Even if that's just living on the edge. We like to think that when we have to disregard the rules to really enjoy life, we will not. But as we go through life, we often learn differently. Dining at folly's table often brings pain and disaster. Each one of us likely can think of friends or relatives, maybe even ourselves, who have foolishly made these kind of choices and suffered the loss it brings. Loss of reputation, loss of self-respect, sometimes the loss of job or freedom, even family. The treats offered by folly seem at first to be delicious and enticing. It's an invitation to eat and drink and be merry, to grab all the good things of life while we can. And the meal may be sweet at first, but it leaves a bitter aftertaste. In fact, God tells us if we continue to eat at this table, it will ultimately lead to death. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the graves. The joys of folly appeal to our naturally sinful instincts and desires, but they lead ultimately to death. But God offers a more substantial meal. The text tells us the invitation to this meal is extended by wisdom, and wisdom is portrayed as a young woman who, rather than brazenly calling out to passers-by, sends out her servants to invite us to dine with her. And her menu is made up of one item alone, the insight given from the bread and the wine she has to offer. What exactly is wisdom? Is wisdom found in a fine formal education? Do we receive wisdom by studying long and hard? Well, maybe to some extent. But I bet we all know people who have been very well educated and yet are not what we would call wise. The Bible describes wisdom very simply. The fear or honor or reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is insight. The truly wise person is the one who fears and loves God above all things, who loves God more than the opinions of other people, who loves God more than the things of this world. Paul put it this way, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And the love Paul speaks of is love for God, which is the source of all other love. Or as he said in the epistle today, he said, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. True wisdom is knowing the Lord's will. I think all too often we come to the Lord filled with our own wisdom, or at least what we think is wisdom. That wisdom tells us to follow our own way, do our own thing. When we hear God's instruction, we naturally reject it because it doesn't fit with the way we like to do things. But when we reject his way, we miss the great things that he has in store for us. The food wisdom offers comes from the Lord himself, and it only empowers us to, and it alone empowers us to put aside our simple, uninstructed, and sinful ways and turn to him and live forever. It's able to do that because ultimately wisdom is not simply something we learn or something that we can achieve. Paul says that you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. Almost all commentators agree that the personification of wisdom spoken in Proverbs is nothing less than Jesus himself. He is the foolishness of God, which is wiser than men, and the weakness of God, which is stronger than men. Wisdom is Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and wisdom of God. You see, it's through Jesus Christ that we truly become wise. Wise unto salvation, as Paul told Timothy. It's by Jesus that we know that our sins are forgiven because of his death on the cross. It's by Jesus that we know that our lives are going to go on forever in heaven because of his resurrection from the grave. Of all the people who have ever lived, it's only by Jesus that we know God loves us, pardons us, stands by and strengthens us, preserves and protects us, and will one day take us to a joy and a glory that no wisdom of this world can begin to fathom. God uses many different images to describe how he has accomplished our salvation. A few weeks ago, in our gospel readings, Jesus began referring to himself as the bread which comes down from heaven. And today we heard Jesus declare that he is the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And many of the people who heard Jesus say that thing rejected him. According to their wisdom, this was ridiculous. It simply made no sense that faith in the one standing before them would give them eternal life. But Peter spoke for all who have come to know God's wisdom when he declared, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and we've come to know that you are the Holy One of God." For all who come simply, come trusting like a child, Jesus' words are truth and life. When we hear Jesus' words in the gospel, and especially in the gospel of John, we can't help but think of the feast to which we're invited to come and eat often. This meal gives us deep and close communion with our risen King. It's in the Lord's Supper that we're privileged to participate in his feast of victory as we receive once again his very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. At this meal, God throws a victory celebration for us, so that we might be strengthened to live lives of faith and hope and witness. This morning God says that we've been invited to a feast, a party. In fact, to two parties. Folly tells us to continue in our self-centered and sinful ways, but wisdom calls upon us to receive the Lord's discipline and instruction. One leads to slavery, the other to death. The other leads to freedom and life. One leads to slavery and death, the other to freedom and life. I gotta correct myself there because that's very important. One leads to slavery and death, the other to freedom and life. The reality is these invitations aren't just an invitation today. They come to us each and every day. The reality is, all too often, we dine at folly's table. But God continues to call us and invite us to dine regularly with wisdom, with Jesus. Because when we do, we dine with God himself. Amen.